In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
A clash over carbon pricing in Canada is coming to a head, and there's a huge question mark over what will happen next.
This is a decision that we do not take lightly, and we recognize that it may come with consequences.
Saskatchewan's government is taking a dramatic stand, saying it won't be sending Ottawa the federal carbon levy. We knew this was a possibility. The province already stopped collecting carbon levies from natural gas provider Sask Energy customers in January. The latest move is taking things to a whole new level that could challenge the status quo when it comes to how provinces and territories work with Ottawa. Leaders in Saskatchewan say they're fighting for affordability and fairness. What could this mean for Canadians nationwide? And is the Trudeau government's controversial carbon policy on its last leg? I'm Melissa Duggan, and this is The Big Story. Cormac McSweeney is the Parliament Hill Bureau Chief for City News. Hi, Cormac.
Hello.
So Saskatchewan's Premier Scott Moe got the country's attention last week when he shared a video on social media. It featured his province's minister responsible for all major Crown corporations, including Sask Energy, Dustin Duncan. What did Duncan reveal?
Well, Saskatchewan had already announced last year that as of January 1st of this year, it would stop collecting the carbon tax from its energy customers when it comes to natural gas for home heating. But what really came up at the end of February was a deadline for Ottawa, for provinces to submit their reports on how much fuel was sold throughout their jurisdiction and how much of the carbon price was collected on that fuel. And they had to pay up. They had to pay the federal government for the carbon tax. What Duncan announced was that they're not going to do that. Essentially, he said they're not going to be paying their bill when it comes to natural gas for home heating and the carbon tax. And by doing so, the province had announced it is officially breaking federal law and creating a standoff that really goes to the heart of our confederation as a country.
When the minister said the government of Saskatchewan will not be remitting the federal carbon tax, what exactly does that mean?
Yeah, remit is one of those fancy words a lot of politicians and economists like to use, but essentially it's a payment. They basically have to pay over their share of the carbon tax for how much fuel was consumed in their jurisdiction. And so it was a deadline for them to pay up, and they decided not to remit, not to pay the federal government for the carbon tax that was, or for the fuel and the carbon tax that was owed to Ottawa from Saskatchewan.
What's been the reaction from the Trudeau government?
Well, they're not happy, to put it one way. The reaction has been quite stern. Initially, when this video went out, I believe it was a natural resources minister, Jonathan Wilkinson, who responded by saying that if Saskatchewan doesn't pay the carbon tax, then the people of Saskatchewan are not going to get the Canada carbon rebate. And that rebate is those payments that people receive in provinces where the federal carbon price is in place. And the feds say more households get more money into their pockets than they actually pay in the carbon tax on fossil fuels. I believe the number is 8 out of every 10 households gets more money back. The environment minister also jumping into this debate this week saying it's immoral and irresponsible for Saskatchewan to do this. If Premier Scott Moe, according to Minister Stephen Guilbeault, decides that he wants to start breaking the laws, Guilbeault says that if they're not respecting federal laws, measures have to be taken. And he starts questioning, you know, what if somebody tomorrow decides that they don't want to respect other federal laws, such as criminal laws? And there's talk about this being sort of anarchy within our confederation. Now, Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe has defended his position on this. He says he doesn't believe that the carbon tax is right. When he heard about the threat to get rid of all of the rebate, he argued that the people of Saskatchewan deserve to at least get some of it back because they still pay the carbon tax on other fossil fuels. But he has long stood his ground that he doesn't believe in the carbon tax. He doesn't believe in the jurisdiction of the federal government to impose this tax on the province, even though the Supreme Court has ruled that the feds do have every right to impose this tax. There have been some signals, though, that the feds may be backtracking a little bit on what they've been saying, that the natural resources minister has said that Saskatchewan will get smaller amounts when it comes to the rebate. But the finance department has made it clear that this has to be a revenue neutral program. Feds also arguing that the real pain isn't going to be felt by the politicians in Saskatchewan. It's going to be felt by the people of Saskatchewan because they'll be getting less of a rebate back. Just to give you an idea, in the fall when the Saskatchewan government decided to say that it wanted to not collect the money on the natural gas, they said it was going to save people in Saskatchewan on average about $400 per home. The federal rebate that is set to go to Saskatchewan households before we had this showdown was set to be anywhere between $1,500 and $1,800 per household. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what kind of payments they get back to see whether there's actually a savings for most households in Saskatchewan or whether people are going to be feeling the pinch even more.
I want to back up for a second. This move by Saskatchewan makes good on a threat that the provincial government made late last year. But tensions over the carbon tax have been building for a while now. How do we get to this moment?
Well, I mean, ever since the government decided to follow through with a carbon tax, there has been fierce opposition. And the tax officially took effect back in 2019. And from federal to provincial conservatives, you've heard a lot of arguing that this is not the way in which we should be dealing with our environmental issues and trying to hit our environmental targets. But things really did ramp up this last fall when the federal government announced it had a new deal on home heating oil that helped many in Atlantic Canada. Essentially, it gave an exemption for home heating oil for 3 years, a sort of carve out from the carbon pricing system. And the feds argued that families using that product needed more time and financial help to replace their oil furnaces with electric heat pumps. And they were basically giving away the heat pumps and giving money to help get these things set up in these households. They argued that this would help achieve their environmental goals a lot faster. And heating oil is about three times as expensive. But that led to almost widespread condemnation from both environmentalists and from opponents to the carbon tax. Many premiers said that it was unfair to target only one source of home heating fuel, that home heating oil is not the only thing that is causing problems for Canadians when it comes to their pocketbooks, and that natural gas and electricity should also be exempt when it's used for home heating. There are also allegations that the Liberals were playing favorites because they have a lot of seats in Atlantic Canada. The home heating oil carve-out was really helping a lot of people on that side of the country, not as much in other parts of the country. And so they said that it was playing favorites. Even the rural minister, Goody Hutchings, was quoted as saying that maybe in the prairies they should elect more Liberal MPs. She's since withdrawn that comment, but that has led to a lot of political attacks on the Trudeau government.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Something that Minister Duncan kept saying in that video that was shared online was pointing to the issues of affordability and fairness when it comes to Saskatchewan. And something else he talked about was that he recognizes that this move from his province may come with consequences. What kind of consequences could they face?
Well, to put it basically, there is the potential for some steep fines, but also possibly jail time. Now, according to the law as passed, it says that people and corporations that intentionally fail to pay the carbon tax levy are to be fined an equal amount of 20% of the charge that they should have been paying. And that could also come with a separate fine of at least $1,000. Now, when it comes to jail terms, it's not going to be a steep jail term, but it is jail, and the top limit is about 6 months in jail. Now, the Natural Resources Minister was asked about the potential for jail time when we first started discussing Saskatchewan's opposition in the fall, and he kind of dismissed the option of sending people to jail when it comes to, you know, the heads, the CEOs of utilities that are supposed to collect this, and as well politicians. Now, Saskatchewan did something very unique here where they passed a law that basically shifts the liability from the utilities to the government itself. So the official register that's supposed to be sending this stuff to Ottawa, the reports and the payments, was initially the utility. A law was passed so that it's now cabinet, the premier and his cabinet ministers. So they're going to take on the liabilities if anything happens. So this has created a basic standoff between the province and the federal government. So on top of the consequences legally, there's also the political consequences and the risks to our confederation. Essentially, this is a province not respecting federal law. Each jurisdiction in our confederation has its own rules and responsibilities. As I said before, the Supreme Court has already confirmed that the federal government does have a right to impose a carbon pricing system on the provinces. And so this is likely going to end up possibly in courts if both sides stand their grounds. There could also be some other monetary penalties that Saskatchewan faces as a whole. The government has a right to withhold other funds if it feels necessary to the province. So we'll have to wait and see how this plays out, how exactly the federal government wants to handle this. But it seems pretty clear from the Natural Resources Minister and from the environment minister that there will be some sort of consequences, but we're kind of in uncharted territory here, so we'll have to wait and see what those consequences exactly are.
Could other provinces follow Saskatchewan's lead?
Yeah, definitely. There's a big risk for that for the federal government to see other provinces do exactly what Saskatchewan's doing. I mean, we've had several conservative premiers who have been opposing this carbon tax from the start, and they may be looking at Saskatchewan kind of as a test case. If there is little action from the feds or the eventual consequences are something that I guess other premiers might feel that they can live with it, then we might see the likes of maybe Alberta or New Brunswick, possibly even Ontario, take this step as well. So we'll see what happens and whether those provinces do follow through with this. If the federal government comes down with a big hammer on Saskatchewan, it might force other premiers to second guess whether they want to sort of test these waters. But if we do see other premiers follow suit, it could cause some serious damage to the federal government's goals of hitting our emission reduction targets. And as I said before, it could definitely raise a lot of questions about the stability of our confederation when provinces are openly defying federal laws. So we'll have to see how it plays out. If the federal government backs down, that could go a long way for provinces to stake their claim on more independence within our confederation. But if the federal government clamps down and says, look, you know, we have the legal right to impose this carbon tax on provinces, as the Supreme Court has said, then maybe if the consequences are big enough, it might turn other premiers off of trying to challenge the federal government's jurisdiction and authority over them.
What do we know about Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe's popularity in his province? And are people there behind him on this?
To put it one way, I don't think Scott Moe needs to worry about his job or his future as premier. That'll be for him to decide, I guess. He's actually increased his approval ratings throughout this whole carbon tax fight. In fact, Angus Reid Institute did a survey in December, and Moe had the second highest approval rating of all the premiers with about 54%. That was a 4-point increase for him. And it was behind only the newly minted Manitoba Premier Wab Kanew, who, as they say, was on his political honeymoon. So if Moe doesn't have support from his constituents on this carbon tax fight, it's definitely not being reflected in the numbers.
politically speaking, what could the carbon tax uproar mean for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and the Federal Liberal Party with the election looming just next year?
Yeah, politically, there's a lot at stake for Trudeau. If his key environmental policy implodes, that's going to be a huge blow to the government. And it's not going to help them when they're turning to Canadians asking for another term in office. Now, Pierre Poilievre has been basically tying every cost of living issue back to the carbon tax. He says that this next election is going to be a referendum on the carbon tax. However, as the government does point out accurately, that's not really a fair way to put it because we've already had two elections since the carbon tax came to be and both led to Liberal governments. So if we've had referendums on the carbon tax, it would have been in 2019 and 2021. But I guess we could also look at it as one in 2025 as well, because Poilievre and the federal conservatives are promising to axe the tax entirely. So there's a lot at stake here for Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, not just to meet his environmental goals, but also to show, I guess, his leadership and get through this, because there might be questions about the leadership of the Prime Minister and his government if they can't even keep in place and keep stable what has been their key economic policy.
You know, I think it's easy to get lost in the feuding and the politics of all of this, but what's at stake here in a broader economic or environmental sense?
Yeah, I think there will be some economic consequences to this if we saw the carbon tax all of a sudden implode. But I think the greater risk for the federal government, for Canada as a whole, I guess, is their environmental targets. If we don't have this carbon pricing system in place, so much stock as a part of the overall strategy has been put into a carbon tax to help reduce Canada's emissions, that if we don't have one in place, if all of a sudden it implodes and many provinces decide not to follow through with this, then we're going to be at serious risk of not hitting our environmental targets. Canada's looking to cut emissions by 40% below 2005 levels by 2030. That's just under 6 years away. And their overall goal as well is by 2050 to achieve net zero emissions. All of that could be put in doubt if their key environmental policy collapses. But we are going to have an election campaign coming up where we're going to have different viewpoints and ideologies on how best to reduce Canada's emissions. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more arguments from the Conservatives about how they plan to hit those goals as well. But I think there's a lot more at stake when it comes to the environment than our economy right now.
It will definitely be fascinating to see what happens next year. Thanks for that, Cormac.
Anytime.
Cormac McSweeney is the Parliament Hill Bureau Chief for City News. That was The Big Story. For more, visit thebigstorypodcast.ca. Feedback is always welcome, and we'd love to hear your suggestions for a future episode. You could always email us at hello@thebigstorypodcast.ca or call us. Our number, 416-935-5935. The Big Story Podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. Please like us, rate us, review us, share us with a friend. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Duggan, in for Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.
I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.